That's right. Hey, the Bible says, unless you return to a faith like these children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So, childlike faith, they trust. And we need to trust in Him alone. So, anyway, Mark is sick, so I'm going to pray for him, and I'm going to pray for the Word, and then we'll get started. Father, again, we come before your throne, and we want to bring Mark, and we just pray that you be with him. There's so many others. We pray for the lost, most of all, Lord, and the ones that are out in this heat that don't have a home to call home and no place to get in the shade. We pray for those. Anyway, help us to help others. We pray for your Word. We thank you for your Word, that it be a light unto our path, and that we be into it each and every day. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said? Okay, so we're looking at one verse, chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 12. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Okay, so we know these magi or wise men were from Persia, but they were actually from... Now I lost my chain of thought. Let me think. I'll get back to it. Where Daniel was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, and there were all kinds of... They only took the wisest young men, right? So when they were there, there were a lot of wise men to teach them, and that's where these came from. And so they came by a long route, which could have been as much as 1,000 miles. So we don't know when the star appeared to them to bring them, but they were searching with their whole hearts for the King of the Jews, for the newborn king. Now, the question for you is, how much do you search for him? How much do you search for him? That's a question we all have to ask. And where do we search for him? Right in here. And in here, we search for him in prayer. He tries to talk to us in circumstances. He'll use other believers. He'll use prayer to talk to us. But a lot of times, we don't have ears to hear. We don't want to pay attention. And that's the way with Herod and all the religious leaders of that time. They sent these Gentiles over to look for him. Instead of going themselves, they knew where he was going to be born. But they didn't go. They weren't searching with all their hearts for him. They didn't care. And there's a lot of people like that today that just don't care. They want to just have Jesus on their point, in their time. Okay, I'll have him on Monday, Wednesday, maybe Friday. But Saturday, Sunday, maybe Sunday too. But them other days, I don't want to. And sometimes it's not even that much they want to have him. But He's watching. God knows the condition of your heart. And you're supposed to search for him all the time. You're supposed to be in constant communion with him. But I'm telling you, the world's trying to pull you all different ways away from him. So let's look at some verses how you've got to search for him. Deuteronomy 4:29. This is nothing new. And he's a warning against idolatry. What's idolatry? It's worshiping anything more than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what idolatry is. It's having anything before him. So in verse 29 it says, "But from there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him." You got to commit everything. You can't be involved. You have to be committed to what He wants you to do. And He tells us what He wants us to do. He tells us over and over again. And why don't we get it the first or second time? Because we're hard-headed. We're stiff-necked about certain things that we don't want to do. Well, maybe he didn't want to leave heaven and come down here and be born of a virgin and go through what He wanted to do. But He said if He had to do it, He'd do it again for you and for me. You have to search for Him. You have to be in the Word. You have to be in prayer. You have to be gaining that intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's important daily, because the world's going to try to pull you all different ways. So let's look at a couple more. Proverbs 8:17. I love all those who love me. Those who search will surely find me. You got to search. You got to be looking. You got to be listening. You got to be paying attention. He's always there. It's whether you're going to acknowledge and search for Him. He's always there. He's always been there. But most people don't want to listen. Jeremiah 29:13. If you look for me wholeheartedly, with all that you are, wholeheartedly, you will find me. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. You've got to be searching. You've got to search the Scriptures. You've got to be into where He's going to talk to you. The Bible says He is the Word. So if you want to know Him better, you have to get into it. And if you don't, who's that on? That's on you, and you're going to give an account for it. No one is any better than the other. And all of you can have the same thing that I get out of these Scriptures. You just got to look at them. I mean, the first route they took, these wise men or magi, they took a long way around because they didn't go through the desert, the shorter route. Because the way the camels had to go, they had to have water at a certain point. And it was anywhere from 800 to 1,000 miles. That's a long trip. That's a long trip. And then a short jaunt from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem. So, as I look at this, I see them searching for all they are to find the newborn King. How much are you searching? How much do you spend searching for Him? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves, each and every one of us. Acts 17:27. He does. I'm going to go from 16. And there's, like I say, there's all kinds of idols today that the you know, world tries to pull you into. Money. Thinking, oh, it's mine. No. Everything you have is a gift from God. Everything. From the children we're given to everything we have. You think you earned it. No, God gave it to you. He blessed you. While he was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. I'll tell you, you go out through these walls, you see a lot of idols people are worshiping. 17, 16, I think I'm supposed to be
Oh, I'm supposed to be in 27. I missed it. Hey, that's all right. I was going to go through a lot of it. 27. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist, as some of you, your own poets, have said, we are His offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone, or the things of the world that Satan puts in front of us. There's so many people that are worshiping different things. Drugs, alcohol. Whatever consumes you more than the Word of God becomes an idol. You have to be careful. We have to be careful. We have to guard our hearts. Okay. Job. Now, so you look at different translations, and God talks to us in different ways. He can talk to us using the Holy Spirit. He can talk to us in His Word. He can talk to us through prayer. He can use other believers using the Holy Spirit. So we know there's many times God spoke to people in the Bible using His Spirit. He talked to many. I mean, there's many examples, but He talked to them and He said, don't go back to where Herod's at. Be careful. Go a different route. Take a different route away from it. Because Herod, God knew he had an evil plan coming. And He didn't want them to have to bear that burden. It wasn't for them. Look at Job 33:15. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. So He can either terrify you or He can comfort you using the Spirit. Like I've told you many times, or a lot of people, in 2015 we started looking for a house. We were living over on Grand, and it was time for us to find a new place to live. And we were searching, and we go through this house, and we pray to God, God, You show us the one You want us to be in. But every time we go see a nice one, we say, oh, we'll put an offer in on that one. We like that one. It wasn't what God told us to be. And all of a sudden, they say, is that your final offer? Yeah, I'll give you a full price offer. Well, that wasn't good enough. Okay, that wasn't one for us then. And this went on until 2016. And finally there was a house that came up, and we went and looked at it, and we said, okay, we'll put an offer in. It was in our price range, and so we put an offer in, and we figured, oh, this is going to be just like all the other ones, rejected. You know, is this your final offer? So realtor came back in that. But God came to me that night in a dream, and He said, you're going to get this house. He told me. And I said, and I got up and told the wife the next morning, I said, God told me we're going to get the house. And she said, He didn't tell me. I said, it wasn't for you. It was for me. So next day, here comes the realtor. Is that your final offer? Yes. And about 3 hours later, she says, you got the house. I said, I knew it. God told me. I already knew it. God comforted me. I needed to be comforted. It would have been a long pull. And so many people, sometimes He's going to whisper in your ear at night, in a dream, in a vision, and you're going to say, oh, yeah, right. But I was happy in the morning. I got up and told the wife. And she said, well, you didn't tell me. I said, what for you? And sometimes it's only for us. It's just like when Jesus
healed so many people, and he told them, don't go say nothing. But they were so overjoyed with, you know, being able to walk, and they hadn't walked since birth, that they couldn't stop sharing it. And that's the way we should be with the Word of God, to share with as many people as we have an opportunity. The joy that he gives us. But he's going to talk to you. It's the point is, are you going to listen when he talks to you? Are you going to listen? And then, if we search for him, and we listen to him, he's going to guide and protect us to where he wants us to go. Just, pardon me? Yeah. I mean, we might not want to get up and go there. Now, who's that on? You might lose blessings. You might lose blessings. Because if he's telling you to do something, you don't do it. He's going to use somebody to do it. All you're going to lose is the blessings from not doing it. That's what you're going to lose. Isaiah 41:10. Amen. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. I'm not going to be afraid of nothing. I know the worst thing that can happen to me is I'm going to go be in heaven. Just like with all this stuff that, my body let me down, my blood let me down, and I never doubted one way or another which way it was going to go. Either I'm going to be here to preach on Sunday sometime again after months and months of quarantine. And I'm telling you, quarantine, that was harder on me than anything. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. He's going to take care of it one way or another. It might not be the way you think. But sometimes God puts you through things to see. Okay, look at the Israelites, the 40 years in the desert. What was he doing? He was testing their faith. He was testing them. And he tests us. He will never tempt you, but he will test you. He will test you. And to see if you're going to do what he wants you to do. But he's going to give you the strength to do it. Sometimes we think, oh, I can't do it anymore. I'm telling you, heat, there's 100 and some degree heat. I don't know how everybody else does, but it affects me pretty hard. But God gives me the strength to get up every day, and he expects me to do what he's called me to do. And sometimes it's getting out in that heat. Look at the ones that are homeless that are living out there. How much are they in that heat? So we think we got it rough when we're out there for an hour or an hour and a half, and they're out there 24 hours a day. I can't even imagine. Second Timothy 4:16-18. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. So he's going to, if you're doing what he's called you to do, And he's given, each one of us are called to do something. I'm telling you, everybody, this whole body is to work together for one purpose. And what is it? To share the good news with as many as we have an opportunity. And there's responsibilities. When Jesus comes back, he says, you know, he's going to separate sheep from goats. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be a goat. You don't want to be a goat. And there's things we're supposed to be doing, all of us. And it's to be serving others. Serving others. In one way or another, there's a million ways you can serve others. A million ways. How many of you know your neighbors? Okay. All the way around? How many doors down? Huh? Okay. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about knowing your neighbor saying, hey, how you doing? You know, waving as you go by, but talking to them. Okay, okay. I know neighbors on both sides of me. I know them two doors down. I know them on the other side of the street, a couple doors down. Past that, well, I know the ones on the corner. So I know ones about in the general area of our house. And they're good neighbors. But I have invited them to church, but they haven't came yet. And that's on them. We are to invite. And I'm going to invite them next Sunday to come have a hot dog and some refreshment and fellowship on. But don't just come for that. Come and sit in church for a little bit. Yeah, a little ice cream. Hey, ice cream floats. There's ice cream floats. Root beer or orange.
It's hard for us to know our neighbors because everybody's sitting down with a piece of cake or anymore. It's really hard.
We used to sit on an acre at the other end of the lake, and we knew everybody on the block. Wow. Everybody. That was all acre lots of Woodhaven homes, and that's where we first moved in. And a lot of them, we knew who was young and who was old. And Janice was home all the time, and she knew what was going on. And I called her Miss Kravitz because she kept tabs on everybody. But she was just home with the kids. And anyway, all right. He's going to guide and direct us. He's going to keep us safe as we're doing what he's called us to do. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. He says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. But there's so many things in the world that we get to worrying about. It just puts extra stress on you, is all it does, by not giving it to him and letting him carry that load. So there's a lot of things. Humble yourselves. I'm telling you, that's a lost thing in the world today, is humility. And what's it mean? It means thinking about others more than yourself a lot of times. Joy. You have to have Jesus first, others second, and then you. And if you want real joy, you have to put things in that proper order. But so many people don't. And you get it one way or another, and you got a mess of letters. You don't have no joy. Last verses, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. I thought I did. Huh. I did. Hey. Five, six, and seven. I'll read it again. Five, six, and seven.
I wonder
Well, hey, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. And then it says, stay alert. Stay alert. Hey, be careful. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. So, Hey, and me. Hey, it's something like old people like you don't have a lot of. be careful. Walk gently. Be alert. Hey, if you're walking down the road and you're not being alert and you've got a big boulder in front of you and you fall over it, how are you going to do? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3. I get there. Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians. Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. And I have that same kind of prayer for everyone. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. He gives us His Spirit to get us going. Sometimes we think, I can't go on. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. If you've got something on shallow ground, those roots aren't going to grow deep. And if you're not into the Word, your roots aren't going to grow deep. And to keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. Wow. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish it, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things everybody can do. Some people say, well, I'm retired. Well, God never retired you. You might be retired from work or from this or from that, but you're never retired from God's service if you're a Christian until He calls you home. That's when you're retired. And then there's no more pain and no more... Okay, let me go on. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. We think sometimes we're doing this or doing that. God's searching your heart and He's saying, you can do infinitely more than what you're doing. Love on people. I'm telling you, that's a lost art today, too, loving on people. Jesus loved you while we were yet His enemies. He loved us. And He went to the cross. While we're yet His enemies. And the world's trying to pull you to be an enemy of Christ again. How are you doing? Are you relying on His strength to get you through each and every day? Are you relying on His strength to accomplish more and more than you ever thought possible? That's what we have to ask ourselves. So, as you go through this week, think about some of these things. God, are you searching for Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind?
Are you really searching? Are you in the Word? Are you doing the things that He wants you to do? That's what we have to ask ourselves. So as you go through it, think about it, and let's pray. And when you do it, He's going to guide you and He's going to protect you through the things that He's called you to do. Father, we thank You for the free gift of salvation. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for having mercy on us, first of all, because without Your mercy, I'd have been beat up from the feet up. And without Your grace, Lord, I thank You for it. There's nothing I could ever do for it. You gave it to me freely by accepting Your Son and by doing the things that You called me to do. May we all search and let Him protect us as we go through. I pray that each and every one of you get into the Word of God this week and see what difference it makes in your life. So, again, we lift up Mark. We lift up Pastor Scott. We lift up all the ones that are sick. We lift up the lost, most of all. Lift up our children, our grandchildren. We have an obligation to teach them the ways to walk. And sometimes it's by the way we live. And like I say, we've always taught the young grandkids when we had them prayer. And it's important to pray before you eat. And all of them know that it's that way. And it needs to be that way for us. And every time we get up or every time we sit down, we should be teaching. Teaching others, teaching our kids and our grandkids the way to walk and trust in God to provide for it. Again, we give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. So in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18, it says, if any of you experience hardship, I'm kind of paraphrasing, if any of you are sick, come and let the elders anoint you with oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. And it says, by their faith, you will be healed. So won't you come?
another day the Lord has granted us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
Go with him.
Name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord.